Not often do I take time in church because this is a sacred desk and a sacred place and a sacred time. And I tend most of the time to stay away from things that are going on in social life, political world. But something happened this week and it made me really sad and really glad. And I thought, I just need to talk about that for a minute. The really sad thing was the lady on the talk show this week who said, you know, anybody who, it's okay if you talk to Jesus, but if you think he's talking back, you have a mental illness. Did you hear that? Talking about the prayer life, the spiritual life of the vice president of our nation when she said that. If you think he's talking back, you have a mental illness. It made me really sad. I know a lot of people got angry about that when they heard it. It made me really sad because I thought, that poor, lost woman. That's all I could think. She doesn't understand what it means to have a personal relationship with Jesus. And it just made me sad thinking about the fact that there are a lot of lost people, a lot of people in her sphere who somehow believe that turning away from faith is a sign of enlightenment or sophistication. And these poor lost people need somehow to know that Jesus cares about them. And then it made me really glad. You know why? Because of what Paul said in Galatians 6 when he said, the world is crucified to me and I to the world. I thought, isn't it an exciting time to live, though, when people are beginning to react against the Christian faith? You know why? Because that means we are worth being an adversary. That means the people of God are standing up in such a way that they're being noticed because those folks in popular culture are beginning to say, we've got to resist this group because there's something frightening about them. Aren't you glad to live in a time when your walk with Jesus can make a difference and your testimony for Christ can change lives, and when you can stand up and not be ashamed and people see it? This is a great time to begin what we're doing today, because for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be on a journey. We're going to be on a journey toward the resurrection. And we are going to walk the way of the cross, because if Jesus is Lord, then I have to find my way through the cross. It is the defining symbol of the Christian faith. It is the stumbling block upon which every other belief falls. It divides both history and eternity to come. It is the spiritual compass by which believers guide their lives. It is the central reality of the gospel. It is the cross. If Jesus is Lord, then we live our lives in the shadow of the cross. Over the weeks ahead, as we make our way toward that time when we celebrate the empty tomb, we're going to be looking together at what God accomplished through the cross. We're going to remember again why it is impossible for Jesus to be Lord apart from the crucifixion. And we're going to walk the way of the cross with him. Because here is the truth. Without the reality of the cross, there is no possibility of the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no chance for eternal hope. So let's begin at Galatians and learn the truth. If Jesus is Lord, then I live at the foot of the cross. Remember what Paul wrote? We read it just a moment ago. But God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world had been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul says an awful lot in that one little verse. There's a lot of things we need to grab and hold on to. And it begins with this. Nothing matters without the cross. Nothing matters without the cross. Paul declared, God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is hard to express the intensity with which Paul declared, God forbid, God forbid, God forbid that anything takes the place of the cross in my life. He was crying out, may it never be. God, step in and make it stop. Never let it happen. Paul was praying for a life that was not centered on anything except the cross. God forbid that I should turn anywhere else and find hope and find direction and find truth for my life. God forbid. Paul understood that if Jesus is Lord, then his cross cannot be ignored. God forbid that we live a life and practice a faith without the cross. You know, we live in a world and in a time when there are a lot of people who call themselves believers who have chosen to walk the path of a crossless Christianity. A lot of those people worship in buildings with a cross on top. But it's not inside anymore. Many of those people don't even realize they have chosen a crossless faith. But when you hear what they believe or listen to what their church declares or pay attention to the way they live, that's what you find. They live a crossless faith. What is a crossless Christianity? It is a way of believing that removes the necessity for a sacrificial death. A crossless faith is one in which you can believe in God, you can find hope in God, you can find joy in God, you can gather and sing songs about God, you can talk about how God touches your life, about how God makes you whole, about how God blesses who you are, but somehow we never get around to those songs that say, I will cling to the old rugged cross. A crossless faith believes that it's enough to think Jesus was a great teacher, a huge moral example. You can even believe he was God in the flesh. You can believe he is the source of joy and blessings and peace and purpose. But crossless believers choose not to believe that he was the Lamb of God, the perfect sacrifice. Here's the problem. Believers in a crossless Christianity believe they don't really need a crucified Savior. People who embrace a crossless Christianity believe this, that all of us are pretty good people that need a little tweaking, a little fixing up, a little adjusting. You know, there's a few things wrong that may need to be right, but all in all, we were pretty good to begin with. Rather than saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Rather than understanding we are apart from Christ, without God and without hope in the world. Without understanding, apart from the cross, I have no eternal hope. And so they gather together and they sing their songs and they do their thing and they have their services, and somehow the cross has disappeared. It's not in the music, it's not in the prayers, it's not in the preaching. The problem is, without the cross, there's no confession of sin and no salvation. Because of that, it is a helpless and useless faith. There's a phrase that is used a lot. Many people use it. You may have used it yourself today. It sounds really good and it makes you feel really good, but if you really mean it, you need to understand it leads you away from the cross. It's a conviction that says this, God's love for me is unconditional. Have you ever heard that? I believe in the unconditional love of God. I believe God's love for me is absolutely without condition. Oh, it sounds good. I'm not sure where it came from. I'm pretty sure it's not from the Bible. Listen to me. God's love for you is beyond comprehension. He loves you so much that he gave his only begotten son who died on that cross to bring you salvation and redemption. Nobody will ever love you like the Lord loves you. He will transform your life and change eternity. He wants to convey you from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of his son. Never doubt the incredible love of God. But understand this, God's love is not unconditional. And God's condition is that you come by the way of the cross. That's where forgiveness is found. That's where the burden of sin is lifted. That's where Jesus paid the price for you. That's the place where you discover God's love in an eternity-changing way. But God says you have to come by the way of the cross. And there's no exception to the rule. To believe God's love is unconditional means you're the one that gets to make the rules. I can live as I please, do what I want. And I will say to God, these are the limits of how much I will love you, how much I will serve you, how much I will obey you, because after all, you're going to love me no matter what. None of us would treat our own families that way. None of us would say to the children God has placed in our homes, you know, my love for you is unconditional. You just do what you please, live like you want. I'll never discipline you. I'll never correct you. I'll never tell you no. I'm just going to smile and grin as you go about your life doing anything you please. What kind of adult would come out of that sort of raising? And in the same way, God says to us, you've got to come through the cross. If your faith in Jesus does not bring you to the cross, it is a counterfeit faith. God places a condition on his love for you. It is the cross. Stay away from any form of religion that turns away from the absolute necessity of coming by the way of the cross. Paul also says this, our boasting must be in the cross of Christ alone. Paul says we are to boast in the cross. That doesn't mean we're supposed to brag about it. What the Bible means by boasting is not what you and I mean when we use that term. When Paul described boasting, he meant to find ultimate value in. Let me tell you what has changed my life. Let me tell you why I am not the person I used to be. I boast in the cross. In other words, I find everything I need in the cross of Jesus Christ. There's several things Paul was doing when he talked about boasting in the cross. When Paul boasted in the cross, he gloried in what Jesus did there. It was his ultimate place of worship. Can you imagine that? Paul, looking back less than a generation away from the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, looked back on that afternoon, that place, that suffering, not the physical suffering, but the spiritual suffering of the one who carried the sins of the world on his shoulders. And he looked back at that most horrible day in the life of our planet, and he said, I boast in the cross. I glory in the cross. It is the most important, most worshipful place in my life. How could he say that? Goes back to John. You know, everybody remembers John 3:16. If you've ever been in church more than five times in your life, you can quote John 3:16. God so loved the world. But do you know what he said in the verses just before that? Do you know what Jesus said in John 3:14 and 15? Well, I won't ask you to quote it. I'll just tell you. Jesus said, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Do you understand the reference that John was making? Jesus was talking about that time during the wilderness wandering way back when God had delivered his people from Egypt and he's guiding them to the promised land. And there came one of those times, there were too many of those times, when God's people began to rebel against him again. They began to resent his rule and to reject his authority. And because of that, serpents were loose, vipers were loose in the camp. And they were biting people and people were dying. And they cried out to Moses and said, "Do something, save us." And Moses went to the Lord, and the Lord gave him some very specific instructions. Do you remember? He said, "You make a serpent out of gold, and you put it on a tall pole, and you stand it in the middle of the camp. And whenever anybody is bitten by a snake, if they will look to the symbol, I will heal them. They would be saved." Now, isn't it interesting that that's what Jesus was talking about right before he described to Nicodemus that God so loved the world? What was he doing? Well, I think Jesus was referring to two things that we need to know. The first was, this was the very first reference to the crucifixion. John chapter 3, things are just beginning. Jesus is just undergoing his public ministry. Nicodemus has come to him by night, and for the very first time, Jesus begins to talk about where all of this is leading. This is leading to a cross. You know, we talk about living under the shadow of a cross. He lived under a shadow of a cross his whole life long because he knew that was the reason that he had come. He was always pointed toward the cross. But then Jesus did something else. And referring to that snake being lifted up in the wilderness, he was saying this, that when the crucifixion happened, the Savior on the cross would reveal the glory of God. "When I am lifted up, I will draw men to me." There was something that happened as Jesus died. That place became a place not of misery, not of suffering and death. It became a place where God's glory was on display. No wonder that centurion cried out instinctively, "Surely this was the Son of God." He saw it. He saw it for what it is. When Paul boasted in the cross, he was boasting in the glory of God. But that's not all. He also was revealing his trust. The cross would be the place where he put his confidence. He knew that the cross was the unchanging and unchangeable center of his life. Remember, Paul wrote these words to the Galatians. The Galatians were a church that were being torn apart by false teachers trying to make them find their confidence and other beliefs, other practices. Do a little of what you used to do. Do a little bit of what you need to do. Let me give you some new rules for how you can be right with God. Paul confronted them and declared, "You have to trust the power of the cross and only the power of the cross." When Paul boasted in the cross, he revealed his trust in the Lord. Finally, when Paul boasted in the cross, he committed himself to live for the cross. Whatever he was doing, he said this, "The cross goes before me." He was describing a Christ-saturated life. God forbid that I should boast except in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. How often have you struggled to know God's will for your life? How many times have you reached crossroads where you needed to make major decisions that affected your life, that affected your family, that affected your work, that affected decisions that had to be made, and you began to say, "God, what do I need to do? What do I need to do?" Have you ever reached a crossroads where you had to go one way or another? This is what the Lord would tell you to do. Follow the cross. Follow the cross. Let the Lord show you the way. And then Paul declared, the cross of Christ is the only way to experience real, lasting transformation. Hear what the Bible declares, by whom the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I am not the person that I used to be. There's something crucial that you need to see in that statement that Paul made. This is what he says, by whom, not by what, but by whom. I glory in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me. It's not the cross itself that has the power to transform. You know, a lot of people believe that that symbol, that cross, has some power just within itself. They'll wear the cross as a piece of jewelry. They'll have it tattooed on their skin. They'll place it on the dashboards of their car. Why? Because they believe it's a good luck symbol. As long as the cross is somewhere around me, I'm going to be okay. God's going to protect me. Nothing bad can happen. I'm going to be all right. I may even be blessed. Their faith is in the symbol. Galatians reminds us the power is not in the symbol, but in the Savior. That our faith is not in the means of his death, but the purpose of his sacrifice. And he came to open his life, to give his life, to open a door for your transformation. Paul expressed it so powerfully. The world is crucified to me. I am crucified to the world. When you find yourself at the foot of the cross, you're a different person than you used to be. All the things you used to depend upon, all the things you turned to find status or value, all of the priorities that once seemed so important, those things are gone. They're dead to you. When you find yourself in the shadow of the cross, one of the things that happens is there are times you look backwards and you think about all of those things which once seemed so important, and now you can't remember the last time they crossed your mind. Because something new occupies your attention. In their place is the Lord Jesus Christ. I define my life by him now. I live to glory in Jesus. It's as though my life began when I came to the cross. No wonder Paul declared earlier in Galatians, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. What is Paul saying? Paul is saying, the me I used to be died when I came to the cross. The me I used to be has lost its power over my life. Now it's all about the cross. The Lord is calling you to be radically identified with a crucified Savior. He is calling you to be absolutely dependent upon him. He is calling you to find yourself at the cross. So what do you need to know on this first Sunday as we begin this journey toward the crucifixion of Jesus? As we begin to learn what it means to live your life in the shadow of the cross. You need to know that you glory in the cross of Jesus. That your faith begins at the foot of the cross. That everything changes when you look to a crucified Lord. That everything that matters comes through the cross to the empty tomb and a risen Lord. God forbid that I place my faith anywhere except in the cross. What about you this morning? If it really comes down to it, where do you find your ultimate value? What's the most important thing of all in your life? Where has your life been transformed? If it's anywhere other than the life of Jesus, the cross of Christ, sooner or later, whatever it is you're depending on, it's going to fail you. It's going to fall down. It's going to disappear. You need to know, my life is established in the cross. And so if you're here today and you're lost, you don't know the Savior, you don't have a personal relationship with Jesus, today's the day when you need to make that right. In a moment when we stand, we're going to sing an invitation hymn. You can come here to the front. I'm going to be here. Rich is going to be here. Both of us would love to introduce you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here and you're recognizing that part of where the Lord is leading you is to this church, to be part of what God is doing here, to place your membership here, but more than that, your worship and your service and your fellowship and your love in this place. And maybe you need to come and handle that today. Maybe you're here as a Christian and you're beginning to say, you know, the cross is just not where it needs to be in my life. It's there, but it's not central. And something needs to change, and I need to make it right, and I need to talk to somebody. We'll be glad to talk to you about that. Maybe there's another decision you need to make. We're going to stand. We're going to sing our invitation hymn. As the Holy Spirit speaks to you, if God's calling you, you come. Let's stand together.